This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Welcome back, Home Theater Nerds, and well, welcome if this is the first time listening to this podcast. This is the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, where we talk about what we do in our theaters, what we watch, how much fun we have in our theaters. I'm DJ. I will be your host for the day and every day of this podcast. It's going to be a quick podcast today, or at least I think it's going to be. Who knows how long I get going on this movie and what we got going on. So, anyways, let's get to some comments this week. John M. emailed in with a pretty interesting email. I'll read this one completely. He says, "I'm shocked I liked this movie. My wife wanted to watch it in the theater, and it seemed like a gag film to me. But Little Women was a really good movie. Good story, beautiful setting, and top-notch AV quality. Very engaging." That is very interesting, because I never would have picked this movie to watch in my theater. If my wife got me to watch this movie, we would have probably watched it in the living room. She hasn't asked to watch it, but thanks to John, looks like I have a date night, and we'll enjoy it in the theater. Maybe I'll even pop some popcorn for this, when clearly this isn't a, quote, popcorn movie. Next comment this week comes from Brian Fuller at Brian_Fuller7. So he replied to my tweet about iconic movie sounds, T-Rex and Jurassic Park. And I had put out a tweet saying, funny this comes across because I'm researching, getting ready to do my podcast with Tom Andre. And Brian replied, "I got this on my timeline and then read another response to it that steered me towards the latest archaeological findings that the T-Rex was actually either inaudible or made such low bass sounds that humans couldn't hear it, only feel it. Great reason for sub 20 hertz subwoofers." If you needed another great reason to have a sub 20 hertz subwoofer, well, there you go. There it is. I'd been wanting a sub 20 hertz subwoofer for as long as I learned about subwoofers. I could never really afford them. I had two subs in my room. One was an NHT subwoofer that I had from the 90s, and then my father actually works for a company that did some business with a speaker company that was going out of business, and they were giving away a bunch of stuff. And I got a subwoofer from them that had, it was a decent subwoofer, but I had no specs on it, so I had no idea. But it did the job. But when I really wanted to upgrade and I really wanted to make my purchase of these are my final subs, of course, I went to SVS, and my room is fairly small, but I wanted under 20 hertz. And everybody I talked to said you don't need anything more than the 1000s, a pair of 1000s, SVS 1000s in that room would be more than enough. But it's mental for me. I wanted to be able to get down to that 16 hertz. So I bought the biggest that I could afford. And obviously I didn't want to go. The 3000s weren't out at the time. I probably would have bought those if they had them. But I ended up getting the PB2000s in my little room. I have one at the back of the room that's actually in the room. And the other one is in the front of the room, but it's centered, but it's in the wall. So it's not taking up any space in the room because I have the closet behind the wall there. Like I said, it's mental for me. I know these can get to 16 hertz. I think these things are turned up to like 2 or 3 each in the room. They're barely working, but I know I have everything that you can have in this room. It can't get much lower. I actually do want to upgrade to the PB2000 Pros because I'd love to get the app. I don't know why. I don't need it, but I want it. I want to be able to toy with the subs. I want to be able to, you know, use the app. But it's not high on my list for upgrades, but it is going to be an upgrade. I am going to get, these were supposed to be my forever subs, and oh well. Moving on. Steve George checked in this week with a comment, more of a question. Actually, this question came this morning. Steve, at LegalBeagleOK on Twitter, asked, at Brightside HT, hey there, DJ, are you intending to pick up the 4K disc of The Mask of Zorro? And I answered, yep, exclamation points. I have already ordered it. It should be in, as I'm talking now, tomorrow, I'm thinking. Really looking forward to that. I haven't seen that movie in years. The last version I owned was the DVD version. For one reason or another, I didn't pick it up on Blu-ray. And I don't know why. I really enjoyed that movie. Good action. I love Antonio Banderas. I've loved him since Desperado. And I said that to Steve as well. But this is a fun movie. I think Catherine Zeta-Jones, I think this was her first big movie. She was fun to watch. So I'm really looking forward to that coming in. Next week, we also have Tom Cruise movies coming out. We have War of the Worlds. We have Days of Thunder. We have Top Gun. I'm heading into my busy season of work, so I don't know how much I'm going to be able to do, but each of these movies I would love to dedicate a podcast to, and I probably will, so I'm trying to cram it all in. And it's funny, when I first started doing this podcast, I had some friends of mine tell me, how much are you going to be able to talk about? You're going to run out of content. And I'm like, I have too much content. Some weeks I've talked about a bunch of movies. Other weeks I'll focus on one movie. But clearly, content is not an issue. So these movies will be coming out, I'm sure, whether I package them all into one week or not. Actually, at this point, it depends on how bad the weather is. If I get a really bunch of bad weather days, I'm able to do a lot more in my theater. I work outside. I'm starting to get back into work, crank back up. So getting busier and busier, it's harder to really, really delve into a bunch of movies in a week. So we'll see. But I will definitely be doing at least a movie a week going forward. And with everybody bringing me ideas and questions, it's just my ADD's going crazy. Which one am I going to do next? But I love the comments. I love the questions. Keep them coming on Twitter at BrightsideHT or email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Keep them all coming. Love the talk. Love the conversation. But let's get into week 19 of 2020 here. And week 19, feature movie, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man from 2002. I have the 4K set, which comes with all five films from Spider-Man and then The Amazing Spider-Man, which is pretty cool. In this set, you get both a Blu-ray copy and the 4K version. When this set came out, I didn't have my 4K projector, so I was buying this purely for the Atmos track. And the Atmos track is pretty good. My overall assessment of this in 4K is fairly disappointing. I wasn't too crazy about it. It wasn't awful, but I felt like the 4K was inconsistent throughout the movie. Very grainy at times and then less grain at other times. The clarity went in and out. As we go through a few of the scenes, I'll be able to tell you a little bit more, like pick out a couple of other things that seemed a little more clear. But the picture quality to me didn't look like they did anything to upgrade this to me. In my setup, it just felt like this was an upconverted 1080p version thrown onto a 4K disc. And I don't know. I wasn't too crazy about it. I thought the black levels were really good. I thought the color was really good. But after going through a couple of the audio commentaries, which are in the 1080p version, I really didn't see that much of a difference. If anything else, I thought the 1080p version was way more consistent in picture. And that's only because the picture, it's not as sharp. So if you watch the 4K version, there are scenes that get really sharp and look really nice. But then there's a little bit too much grain in a couple of those sharper scenes. And then if you flip back and forth, I think you'd see what I mean, but it was a little disappointing because I absolutely love this movie. I've loved this movie since it came out. John and I reviewed this movie on Brightside Chat, and we laughed. We had a good time. These movies don't hold up since the MCU. If you want to hear our review of it, you can go over there and listen to it. But we laughed. But I still love this movie because it is the first Spider-Man movie. It really, I could not wait for this movie to come out back in 2000, 2001, waiting till obviously when it came out in 2002. And it is one of the absolute first movie posters I needed to have when I built my theater. I built my theater in 2001. By the time I was done decorating it, I knew what posters I needed to have. It was Star Wars from the original Star Wars movie. It was The Crow. Really loved The Crow. That, I don't know why that movie spoke to me, but I really loved that movie. And Spider-Man. Then the fourth one, because I had four spots on the walls, the fourth one was going to be, and it still is, was Moulin Rouge. I love that movie. I love the sound in that movie. I love the writing. Everything about that movie I thought was just so much fun. And it was a nod to my wife. She really likes that movie. So the theater is, quote, my man cave, but my wife also accompanies me in there, and I wanted it to be partially her room. So I gave her a poster. But I needed to have that Spider-Man poster up there. I think that's the second most I paid other than the Star Wars one. The Star Wars one is an original print. But so when this movie came out in 4K, I was really excited for it. I was really excited to see the 4K treatment and everything like that. And the Atmos, of course. And like I said, that's what probably lent to my disappointment in the overall picture of this. It didn't really feel like it got any kind of treatment at all, but I still enjoy the movie. So let's get to some of the scenes here, because these are all going to be based on sound. I really, you know, really enjoyed the sound of this movie. Always enjoyed it. Enjoyed it back in DVD days. And getting the Atmos treatment, again, don't think it really did much to upgrade the sound either. But in Atmos, I feel like the dynamic range is a little bit extended. Like, I feel like the bass is going a little lower. I felt like the localization seemed a little better. Could be mental, but I really enjoyed it. And I thought for 2002, they did some pretty cool effects in here that we'll get to in a second. So the first scene I'll talk about is at 1635, it's the origin of the Green Goblin. Obviously, this is where Willem Dafoe, you know, he plays a great psycho, and, you know, the green gas comes up. But there's some cool full room engagement here. It's a fairly short scene. It has some really good bass. I want to say the scene's like 30 to 40 seconds, but the way it fills the room and then the way the scene ends, it jumps right to Peter Parker, but there's a nice bass thump there. And there's also a nice, real boomy bass thump when he comes out and he goes after the doctor that's helping him. So that was pretty cool. At 2340, though, we get a really good, and this is where I think maybe Atmos really paid off, the Spidey sense. It's the fight scene, and right before Peter and Flash fight, you have the slow motion of the fly, the spitball, and all that, and the camera pans throughout the hallway, and the way the sound subtly moves around the room, because as the camera goes around, you're getting the whooshes from different speakers around the room. That was pretty cool. The slow motion punch I thought was really cool. So Flash goes to punch Peter. Peter dodges it, steps to the side of it. And he looks, and you would think that the punch would go, well, as it's coming across your screen, left to right, you would think that the sound would go left to right. But what they actually did was they did full room left to right. So it didn't even feel like it was in front of you. It felt like it was all around you, almost like you were that fly watching this, and you could hear it all around you. And it was a pretty cool room engagement and a shot, quick shot of it. I really liked how they did that. At 3650, we have Bonesaw, which is Macho Man Randy Savage. Rest in peace. This scene has great bass, great sound all around the room from crowd noises, great use of discrete channels, great use of, like, the way they pan around the room with the different sounds during the fight. It's a fun scene. Probably doesn't, like, jump out at you as a great scene, but for 2002, I do enjoy this scene, but I wouldn't put it up against any of the, you know, latest movies, like, you know, any of the Marvel movies or anything like that. But it is a pretty cool scene. At 1:12:50, one of my favorite, all-time favorite scenes is Willem Dafoe playing himself and the Green Goblin in the mirror. But leading up to that, the sounds around the room, I just get such a kick out of that stuff. I remember being a kid and discovering, you know, home theater and surround sound and Dolby Pro Logic when that came out, and being like mesmerized by, wow, that can have a sound just in the back of the room. And this scene here really does a great job in the Atmos, the discrete channels around the room of Willem Dafoe, like, he's walking around listening, and the sound will be on the right side of the room, and that's where he's looking. But then all of a sudden, the voice in his head. Now, when I say the sound, I'm talking about the voices in his head. So it's Norman Osborn talking to Green Goblin, but of course, he's the same person. So on the right side of the room, you have Green Goblin talking to Norman, and then Norman talks to the right side of the room. And then all of a sudden, Green Goblin's at the back left of the room, and Norman whips around and looks towards that side of the room. And it's really well played, really well done, fairly subtle, but not so subtle. And when I say that, I'll bet you people that aren't home theater fans, they'd just be like, yeah, that's expected. But for people like myself, like you guys, if you're listening to this, that's a lot. It's just so much fun. And that's why it's always been one of my favorite. When I first got the disc, I had to get right to it. And then the other part, when he's talking in the mirror, if you go to this scene, pay attention to this. I never noticed it until I listened to it in Atmos. And of course, I'm doing this podcast, so I'm really hyper-focused on the little subtleties, trying to learn even more. So when he talks in the mirror, of course, the mirror version is the Green Goblin. And then there's him, Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn's voice sounds like a normal voice in a room. Green Goblin's voice, there's a slight echo to it, and the way they did the echo I thought was so cool. It sounded like you could hear Green Goblin speak, and it came from the front of the room. Didn't sound like it was coming just from the center channel. Maybe, like I said, it sounded like it was from the front of the room, and then the slight echo was the voice coming from the rear channels. And it was really, really well done. And really subtle, but it gave that slight difference between Norman's voice and the voice in Norman's head, Green Goblin. And I really enjoyed that. Check that out. I really liked it. Hopefully you can hear that in your system. I really enjoyed it. Then again, at 1:15:45, you get almost the same type of effect. It doesn't last as long, but it's when Green Goblin is waking up Spider-Man after putting him under, and he's talking to him. Same thing. The voice at the front and then the echo at the rear. Really cool echo effect there. Even a little bit more pronounced. Then at 1:23:30, you have the fire scene when Green Goblin and Spider-Man meet inside the apartment building that's on fire. The 1:23 is actually, that's right when Spider-Man goes back in to face Green Goblin. Shortly before that, some pretty cool scene, especially when Spider-Man first goes in to the room, when he swings into the apartment building. And the web, the highlights on the web, I thought were really cool, really pop out even more. I remember going from DVD to Blu-ray, and on the Blu-ray disc, it really popped out, that one particular scene, that web, when he first goes into the apartment. It was really highlighted compared to the DVD, and now in 4K, I thought that highlight was even more pronounced. Could just be me, but that looked really sharp. But that's when he goes in and he saves the baby, comes out, gives the baby to the mother, then tells him that I'm going back in because he hears the screaming, which we know is Green Goblin. So that's when he goes in at the 1:23:30. That scene, the crispness of the flames, of the creaking, of the dialogue, everything about that scene is just so, so strong and very, some nice deep bass, just rumbling though, not big, strong, you know, like punch you in the chest bass. But this is a really, really strong scene, really good scene to really crank up your system at reference level and sit back and just be enveloped by the flames, because it feels like your room is on fire. Even Grant Curtis in one of the audio commentaries says, like, great sound design here, which I thought was pretty cool listening to the audio commentary, because I'd already made notes of that scene. And then the last scene I have on my list is at 1 hour, 39 minutes, 50 seconds, Battle on the Bridge, Spider-Man, Green Goblin, Sophie's Choice, which one do you save? Get it? Lots of pans, lots of bass, everything. The whole room's engaged. Really, it goes right into the final scene when they're battling in some yard with a single brick wall standing in the middle of nowhere. I don't know. But that bridge scene with the goblin flying around the room, you get that effect going. Very clear, very crisp sound. And this is one of the scenes I thought that the picture quality was really nice too. It was sharp. It didn't feel like it was too grainy. Almost like they were picking and choosing which scenes to upgrade to 4K, and this one got the treatment. I don't know. The other one that had really nice picture quality, I thought, was that scene that I was talking about with Willem Dafoe looking in the mirror. That scene, I don't know why, but in his house or mansion or whatever, inside there during that scene, that looked very crisp, very clean, with just the right amount of grain. It felt a lot nicer than other parts of the movie, for picture quality, that is. But that's all I have for scenes. Like I said, this movie, I don't consider reference quality. Even the audio, I don't consider reference quality. They're like the ones I listed, I really enjoy. With the exception of the Willem Dafoe in the mirror scene, I wouldn't really say, like, hey, break these out to show off your theater. But, I love the movie. And I've been through all these audio commentaries before. I listened to the filmmakers and cast audio commentary, which was with Sam Raimi, Grant Curtis. They're having a conversation. And then also edited in on the same commentary is Laura Ziskin and Kirsten Dunst. And they did a really good job of editing it back and forth. It doesn't feel clunky at all. I've heard other ones where there are different people. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of disappointing. This one was pretty entertaining and informative. As I'm listening through this, I realize I'd heard it before. But one of the things I had forgotten about, so Bruce Campbell, who plays the ring announcer in the wrestling match, he take a look at his necklace. He's wearing a Cadillac symbol, which is pretty funny, because I think it's actually upside down too, if I remember right. But it's pretty funny because it just looks like he's like all decked out and supposed to be wearing like bling, but it's an actual Cadillac symbol painted all gold. It looks pretty cool. The other one was Laura Ziskin says to look closely at Peter's wallpaper in his bedroom, and it's a web design, which was really cool, like spider web design. And when she first says it, she's talking to Kirsten Dunst, and Kirsten Dunst can't see it, and you really can't. Of course, in the audio commentary, you're watching the 1080p version. When you watch the 4K version, it is a little bit easier to see, and especially later on in the movie, Kirsten Dunst in the commentary goes, oh, there's the webs, I can see it now, and of course, and in 4K, it's clear in that scene, but you'd have to obviously jump back and forth. But look closely at his blue wallpaper and you'll see it's a spider web design in the wallpaper, which is pretty cool, and I'd never seen that before. Kirsten Dunst and Laura Ziskin comment that the entire movie has an old school feel, like an old school movie and comic book feel, which I thought that comment was really interesting, because that's what John and I said. We were like, this movie doesn't stand up to the MCU of today, but it is a comic book movie, and it felt like a comic book movie. A lot of stuff was over the top, and it was just funny hearing them say that. And even like they commented on the costume designs were old school feel. The cars were an old school feel. Sam Raimi's car, which he tries to sell you, the one that Uncle Ben is driving. You know, I'm telling you, in the commentary, he tries to sell you the car, which I thought was really funny. And that's another one that I was like, yep, that was stuck out to me. Like, I remember hearing this before because I was like, ooh, maybe I could buy that car someday. But of course, they recorded this back in 2001, so I'm sure it's been sold. So, but yeah, it does have an old school feel. And speaking of that old school feel, they actually used the Spider-Man that played Spider-Man in the TV show. He was used as a stuntman in the Times Square scene. So that scene with the hot air balloons and the Goblin and Spider-Man fight, well, one of the people that fell, I don't know which one it is. They don't say which one it was. They just said, that guy right there. And you're looking at the screen, there's a bunch of guys. They said he was the Spider-Man in the Spider-Man TV show. And now I'm wondering which TV show. Was he on, like, Electric Company? Because I don't think he had any spoken lines or anything like that. But I don't know. But I thought it was cool that they even made note of it because they brought him back just to be in that movie. And the last one I really, really liked was Sam Raimi talking about Avi Arad saying that this is where he'd like to have MJ say Tiger. Because that's, you know, what her pet name for Peter, and she says it all the time in the comics, but it hadn't been used in a movie, this being the first movie. And right, it's very subtle, and they comment how, you know, Ivy said that that's where he wanted it. He felt like that was a good place to place it in the movie, and it wasn't like a go get him, Tiger, like you'd get from the comic books. She said it very subtly, just in conversation, and almost like the conversation made it feel like the movie was, like she was moving towards liking Peter more. And now she has a pet name for him. And it was very subtle. I'm pretty sure it was right before the scene where she kisses him. And she's walking away and she's like, okay, Tiger, or something like that. But it's very subtle, very matter of fact. It wasn't very pronounced, which I thought was really cool. So that's all I have for this week. Not sure what I'm coming back with next week yet. I have some ideas, some exciting ones. They're all exciting. Let's be honest. I got Jurassic Park on the table. I've got Tom Cruise movies coming out. I've got Mask of Zorro. What am I going to do? I don't know. It's all fun. I can't wait. Keep the suggestions coming. Keep the comments coming. Keep the questions coming. I'm having a blast at this. I hope you are too. You can tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And if you like my buddy Adriano down there, if you like nerd stuff, check us out at Brightside Chat. John and I sit down and we talk comic books every week. And for more nerdy content, you can go to Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And we've got wrestling there. We've got MMA. We've obviously comic books, all things nerdy. And of course, us, home theater. So until next week, stay safe, everybody. Have a great week. Go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.